primary author couldn't make it, so this talk was really written by her and modified by Eric Young, a postdoc, and with some changes by me. So the impetus for this study is that there's been a lot of interest in reducing phosphorus loading to Lake Champlain, the major lake there in Vermont. For a while it was in the running for the sixth Great Lake, but it didn't quite make it. But there are a lot of concerns with, and there's a lot of algal blooms, or seasonal algal blooms, and concerns with phosphorus loading. But a limited amount of resources, and so the idea is to try to find the areas where stream bank erosion or stream restoration projects would have the highest impact, and to try to somehow come up with areas of high phosphorus or higher phosphorus in the stream floodplain zone. So their question was, well, we have the soil mapping of Vermont. Can we just use the soil mapping to choose restoration areas? And the initial answer was no, there's no phosphorus data. It was really surprising to me that the NRCS was collecting PDON data for decades, but they weren't actually running phosphorus in their characterization in the Lincoln lab. So what we were trying to find out, can the soil mapping work, and do the soil series as they're mapped vary by phosphorus content, or might it be something like drainage class or parent material, something broader than the soil series be a good determinant of phosphorus content. This is just an example of the problem of, this is the restoration site. I'm going to show you the soil map of a Rugga Brook, and this is what was happening to the stream corridor there. From basically, too much water was coming in because they diverted the nearby town. They actually diverted some stormwater overflow into the stream. So, just a little bit about phosphorus availability, which you probably all know. The traditional tests are based on crop yield and agronomic lands. The phosphorus concentration or the available phosphorus is really controlled by past fertilizer manure history, but in these riparian zones that haven't really been under active agriculture, there's probably other factors that are more important than their past management. That's one aspect of the study that I'm not really going to talk about. So what this part of the project did was look at two areas where they're doing riparian restoration in the Lake Champlain Basin, and some soil sampling with depth, and it turns out to represent 10 soil series. And we looked at a number of characteristics of the soil, mainly total phosphorus and this available phosphorus, which is the modified Morgan's soil extract, which the ammonium acetate at pH 4.8 soil test extract. So the two corridors under study were actually in three different counties. This is Rugg Brook, which drains the city of St. Albans and runs into a Mill River, which is not shown here. And then Lewis Creek, which runs from Addison County up into Chittenden County, and then back into Addison County, into Lake Champlain. And we were working in this area over here. One of the big problems with the soil mapping was that this was done over about three decades in the 50s and 60s and 70s in the three different counties. And if you have any experience with looking at different counties, soil mappings done over a long period of time, the soil series change and the correlation between them is not that great. So this is just showing the remapping at the southern site on Lewis Creek, and showing the sites of the soil sampling. Just listing the different series that were found with a finer order remapping of this area of this creek. And this is looking up at the Rugg Brook, at the northern one, again showing the soil remapping, and those blue points on here are the soil sampling points by series. So just, this is a little bit hard to see because the scale's different, but this rectangle or square basically represents this rectangle. So this is the old soils mapping that was digitized, and but basically done by hand in the 50s from Addison County. And if you look closely, there's actually the soil series are all completely different with the remapping, and the match is not all that satisfying, even of the remap series. A lot of it's just a textural change from the fine sands and silts, you know. But one of the major things we were learning is that it's really difficult to use the existing mapping to actually predict the phosphorus if you're going to base on soil series that you are now analyzing in the present day, because the mapping isn't accurate enough. So just some summary statistics of these soil samples. The total phosphorus mean is around 550 milligrams per kilogram. The modified Morgan is around 2, which in this fertility scheme of things, 7 is considered optimum. So the range is actually relatively low. And these, again, were all non-actively cultivated soils. There were a couple cornfield sampled that did have higher available phosphorus in the surface horizons. So relatively low amount of available phosphorus. And there's too much information here, but it's just to show you the range of soil types in this remapping of these 10 series that were found in those two small areas, ranging from excessively drained down to poorly drained, three types of parent material, but mainly either alluvial or this glacial lacustrine, so the finer textured stuff, which would be the some of the inceptisols, and then the alluvial often on the entis or the I'm sorry, the inceptisols in the one glacial lacustrine with an alpha sol, a Covington series. Quite a range in both parent material and soil classification and drainage class. So there were differences in both total and modified Morgans, or this MM is the soil extract phosphorus, as a result of drainage class, soil series, and there was a difference between the two sites. The parent material difference didn't show up in the available phosphorus of soil test extraction, but the total did. So just some depth profiles, and so on all these graphs, we're looking at the 15 centimeter increments down through the soil profile. The black in all of them is the organic matter content, just sort of as a reference, and it follows the pattern that you might expect with a developed soil profile, higher going down to lower. Most of the soils don't follow this pattern, but a few did of lower phosphorus in the surface horizon and going higher down with a lower. These ones that did tended to be the poorer drained soils. But a lot of them just had a relatively constant, again, this is the soil test phosphorus down throughout the profile. One of the things that surprised me was that the phosphorus was so low in these soils, because they had been, you know, it's an agricultural area, and these are both farmed areas, but they, you know, they weren't farming right up to the riparian floodplain. Another example of the profile, and yet another with the scale here has changed a little bit, but so most of them are relatively low. Even this one, it looks a bit higher. It's really not that high in terms of available soil phosphorus. This is kind of a busy graph. It's showing the same profiles, but the total phosphorus, and just it mirrors the available phosphorus, with most of them going from high to low in the surface. Actually, it doesn't quite mirror, because most of them have a little bit higher in the surface, but in this one that was going higher with depth, again, in the total phosphorus goes higher with depth. So the available phosphorus and the total phosphorus are fairly well correlated. So it was examining the different parameters measured on total phosphorus. And the interesting thing is that with the available phosphorus, you can find good relationships with both aluminum and iron. But with this total phosphorus, the best predictors seem to be total calcium. So it looks like there's some apatite or calcium phosphate minerals in the throughout the soil profile that are, you know, containing this phosphorus. In doing some multiple regression analysis, that came up with a little bit of improvement on just calcium itself. So this is just calcium versus phosphorus, and then if you throw in the available phosphorus soil test and the pH, you can get a better fit of predicting total soil phosphorus. Also did this linear correlation analysis, which I am not an expert on, and I had not yet heard of a Mahala Nobis distance. Anybody? But basically, the farther apart they are, the you know, these groupings, the more different. So this is saying that the alluvial soils tend to group over this way, the glacial lacustrine soils are tending over this way. So the parent material, it's just another technique to show you that the parent material makes a difference on the total phosphorus. In drainage class also, there's some differences shown with poorly drained and separating out from the excessively well-drained, although it's not separating very well from the well-drained soils. And again, the soil series, this soil series 6 and 7 tends to separate out from the other soils. So early conclusions, because this is still a work in progress, the phosphorus definitely varied with soil series, so it looks like soil series may be able to be used as a sort of a metric for phosphorus content. But it's probably more effective if you're going to be remapping or trying to regroup the old mapping to use parent material and or drainage class as a predictor of the phosphorus availability. So as we speak, more sampling is going on. I just want to thank the funding source, which is the USGS Water Center in Vermont Agency. So this is just a soil classification class, relaxing after a hard day of sampling the Winooski soil on the Winooski River there in Vermont. This is one typical floodplain soil. So, thank you. If I understand your question, the somewhat poorly drained, which we of these 10 soil series, there's two of them. They were the ones that had the highest phosphorus throughout their profile, and they also seemed to have the more phosphorus lower in their profile. So that was the sort of the impetus for that statement. We really need a larger population of those, you know, of soil series, and more from each soil series. I mean, the big question is going to be going from those local sites where we had the soil series, you know, they weren't all in the same place, but it was, you know, 100 hectares or something, and we're sampling those same series along the whole stream corridor to see if those match. I'll be surprised if they do, actually, but hopefully they will.